finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Hello everyone and welcome to the Generic Live Show. This is GLS. For the 5th of August 2015, that's right, we are back for yet another Wednesday. Technical difficulties will not hold us down on this show, as you should all be familiar. They will not keep us down. I shouldn't say that with the cue on that. No, technical difficulties will not let us down. We will not be held down. We will not be held down by technical difficulties. And before we get into the headlines, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I just wanted to give my quick opinion on Windows 10. You know, we had this big Windows 10 talk last week. I think it was that, hey, Windows 10 is here, and I've used it quite a bit. It's on my primary PC now, and, you know, I've got to use it, and I like it. I don't mind myself a little bit of Windows 10. I mean, there are a few things that I haven't figured out how to kind of adjust yet. But, I mean, see, when they talk about getting rid of Internet Explorer, you know, they didn't really get rid of Internet Explorer, which bugs me because Internet Edge is, well, Internet Edge or is it Microsoft Edge? I think it's Microsoft Edge, Internet Edge. The show puts me on Internet Edge as it is, and with a lineup like tonight, I'm more on Edge. But they put me on Edge. Windows 10 puts me on Edge, so yeah, that's that. But no, I put Windows 10 on here. I love it. Things are a lot more accessible now. The start menu is great. They give you lots of, you know, productivity things. There's no more, you know, you can launch independent apps, but all the kind of quote-unquote app textiles are all built in there. You can kind of, you know, things pop up in Windows when they used to pop up in apps, and let me tell you how that's, you know, that's a thing. I mean, you can still be live on air and broadcast Google Chrome in Windows 10 mode. That could still happen. That's certainly a thing on the ticket that you can certainly do. But I wouldn't recommend it. Oh boy, the time that I launched Windows 10 in Google Chrome in Windows 10 mode live on air, it was a disaster for everyone involved. Mainly me, because it's a one-person show. Hey, Windows 10, yeah, it's great. I enjoy it. There's a few bits and pieces where I'm like, not so much. But you know, you do what you have to do at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, we cannot have a GLS without headlines.
On to the news.
That's right. I forgot to tell you the lineup of today's episode. So, you know, yay, I'm on the ball. No, today's lineup, we've got the end of the headlines. We've got Telstra doing a lot of things at the end of the, after the break. Oh my God, I'm so excited. We're going to get political up in here. So yeah, that's right. You have a mid-show break to get out while you can. So yeah, that's that. But iFans, by the way, fans of Apple products were the first to tell you that statistically, Apple Macs, iPhones, and iPads are less vulnerable to malware than PC or Android mobile devices. Those much larger user bases make them far more attractive for targets for malicious actors. But two major security flaws, which Apple has yet to fully address in their recently been thrown into doubt. The US tech company's top-notch security credentials. German coder Stefan Thar, that's not really a German accent, last month published details of a vulnerability introduced in the latest update of Mac OS X operating system Vegemite 10.10. The flaw leaves open the ability for a hacker to create and open files, quote, anywhere in the file system, unquote, and gain administrative access to a victim's Mac, potentially weakening or wreaking all kinds of havoc. I cannot read today. Some nasty person has now gone and exploited the flaw to automatically install adware on victims' computers. Ba da ba ba bum. Alright. Adware spams an affected computer with pop-up ads and automatically redirects them to unsolicited websites and apps. Ba da ba ba bum. We're already a couple of minutes in the show and I feel like doing we're going to get to one of my favorite segments that I used to do on the daily version of Generic Live Show called Conspiracy Theories with Dale. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. I was saying something. Malware Bytes researcher Adam Thomas discovered the use of the exploit when he took a close look at new malware and story and noticed that some of his computer root files had been messed with. The firm criticized ESA for having released details of the exploit without notifying Apple first. Oh, please. Apple has reportedly added a temporary measure which notifies users if adware tries to install itself on their computers. Though, according to The Guardian's Alex Hearn, it wouldn't be issuing a full fix for Yosemite until September. Conspiracy theory with Dale. No, I'll get to that later. Oh boy, this is a top-heavy conspiracy theory episode for those who like that. President Barack Obama, though, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is, anyway, President Obama wants to help close the diversity gap in the technology industry. First, he wants to legalize gay marriage in Kenya. Now he wants to close the diversity gap in the technology industry. And he marshaled for support from the private sector to do it. On Tuesday, US time, the White House announced that it has brokered a number of new initiatives involving major tech companies such as Amazon and Microsoft, well-known venture capital firms, and engineering departments at large universities, committing to concrete plans to foster diversity within their organizations. The announcement is a part of Obama's administration's first ever Demo Day, where an event where startup founders from diverse walks of life in various parts of the country come to the White House on Tuesday to showcase their innovations. Well, they can stage an intervention against Obama if they really want to. Unlike traditional Demo Day, where startups pitch prospective founders and entrepreneurs at the White House, Demo Day pitched Obama their ideas to highlight inventions and bring more awareness to the struggles of depreciated minorities in tech, such as women and people of color facing in starting a company. Today, only 1% of venture capitals are led by African American, and 3% of startups are founded by women, Obama said at a press conference on White House Demo Day. Those statistics must change to ensure the U.S. remains a driver for innovation throughout the world. He acknowledges that finding capital is tough for any entrepreneur starting a company. So, okay, I'm not even going to finish reading that story. I'm all in support of gender equality in the workplace, obviously, for obvious reasons. For those who know me, for those who just listen to me on audio, you should, you know, should go back to, you know, nearly 4 years of me doing this now. Over 4 years now, oh boy. But you know, it's just a podcasting, by the way, on and off broadcasting. But I mean, come on, is President Obama really the person to be the figurehead of all of this? I mean, yes, it's important. It needs to be brought to the forefront. And I said this on the issue of legalizing gay marriage in Kenya. I said there's more important battles to fight than, you know, particularly in Kenya. I mean, corruption, anyone? I'll take corruption for 500. But, you know, I mean, there are more important things to be worried about than, you know, say, Obama being
being
the
the head.
head figure for, this sort of thing. So, I mean, it's important we need a figurehead, but Obama has bigger fish to fry, I suppose, it's the point here. So, you gotta take into Obama's not the right person to talk. He's the right person to talk about. Okay. He's the right person to talk about African Americans in. Could I refrain from saying the phrase I was going to say? Yay, Dale has self-control. What? But he certainly can be a leader for African Americans in public and private sectors. But for tech and for women? Obama representing women technology? It's absurd. Anyway, that aside, in a move that could make eBay and Craigslist management lose sleep, Facebook is testing a new regional online marketplace feature in Sydney, Australia, and Auckland, New Zealand. A new buy and sell button is being currently rolled out in the platform's left-hand navigation panel, which will take users to a searchable marketplace of items available in their groups in the local area, excuse me. This marketplace will look a bit like Pinterest, offer for sale catalogs such as clothing and computer electronics categories. I've said catalogs, I meant categories. No way, they probably could offer catalogs at one point in time. Of course, as many people already buy, sell, and trade things on Facebook using groups, this will allow it to be easier for the masses. Not everyone in those two cities has the feature yet, but if you're curious, you can at least try it. Spotted in Sydney by Trevor Long on EFTM, the Sell Something tab in Groups now offers a cross-post item publicly onto the local buy and sell feed as well as in the group. Facebook announced in February that the new features will assist people in buying and selling items that would be rolled out in the next months, and a soft launch of buy and sells appears to be in those steps. Quote, "We are in very early stages of testing a new way for people to easily discover, buy, and sell other items on Facebook," unquote, a Facebook spokesperson told Mashable Australia. It's a fantastic idea, and those people who aren't in the market for buying and selling things can, now do that, can now do buying and selling of goods. They can now do that, so in selected markets and those select people who have it in those certain Sydney and Auckland and those who have had the selected rollout as well. So yeah, that's that. But a long, long time ago, in an IT department far, far away, Windows XP, speaking of Windows 10, Windows XP and Server 2003 were the official DOA. Unless you got $16 million handy, it can still be yours. The federal government departments are paying Microsoft, hold on to your butts, $14.4 billion. Do I have a cash? No, I don't. Do I have a cash sound? I don't think I have cash. I have a cow sound. It's a cash cow. That's what it is. I don't think I have a. No, I don't have a. I don't have a cash sound. Cash. Anyway. Something about checks your body can't cash. Here we go.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
That's right. Well, the Australian government can't cash them at least, so you got that going for you. So $14.4 million to continue their use of outdated Windows operating systems for another year because the software giant no longer officially provides security updates or support for them. Yep, there, Windows XP is writing checks that the government can't cash. The Department of Finance, the Australian Government Department of Finance, not your fiance or partner in the household, recently signed off on a 2 year, two, okay, signed off on 2 1-year contracts for the ongoing custom support, unquote, for Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 to service departments of Defense, Human Services, Immigration Protection, and to the Australian Taxation Office, Technology News website, IT News, and Delimit first reported the cost. Microsoft discontinued support for Windows XP in April last year and for Windows Server 2003 last month, meaning that it will no longer provide users with security updates or support. Organizations can now buy continued support, although it does come at a cost. Oh my god. The relevant agencies did not respond at the time of this recording. Well, you know. Do you really, really blame them? I mean, that would explain why you're on hold for so long at the Australian Tax Office. No, it actually doesn't. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up the headlines. If I can find that, there it is. I do find it, actually, I will talk more about that. I do find it ridiculous. And on the other side of the headlines, so funny that I play the music and now have an opinion on the last story. It is ridiculous how people are, you know, so, so stupid, like the taxation office and immigration border protection. See, that's what's wrong with our borders here in Australia. We're using 2003 technology to protect our borders, no wonder. Anyway, the political talk happens after the breakdown, or before the break. What happens before the break is we talk about Telstra doing lots of things, because why the hell not? Telstra is famous for, tying its name to a lot of things. Why? Because Optus exists. And for the international listeners, we have basically three, I don't even want to say three major players, but we have three major players, two major players and one player that's it's ahead of the independent pack. So we have Telstra, Optus, who have about 75% of the market share, and then we have Vodafone and the Three Network, which are pretty much the same company these days, but you know, they take up a combined third and fourth spot. They kind of alternate between who takes which spot. But Telstra is doing a lot of things to try and, I mean, I talk all the time. I mean, I'm a marketing major, so people talk about partnerships and competitive advantage in my world all the time, and it's all about the competitive advantage in this instance. It's all about competitive advantage. It's all about advantage. It's all about competitive advantage, particularly when Telstra is trying to find things that they can do to try and edge themselves up, you know, try and edge themselves ahead of the curve when it comes to Optus. They're not going to better their service. They're not going to, oh, I shouldn't say that too loud. Hey, if I get disconnected for some odd reason, it's because Telstra has found me and, you know, cut service to my house because I'm saying bad things about them on the internet. Full disclaimer! I should have a little thing down the bottom of the video that says, full disclaimer, I'm a Telstra customer. So, you know, people have listened to my shows before, you know, there's that. But, yeah, if I am a Telstra customer, so people are shocked by that when I tell them I'm a Telstra customer. Yeah, anyway. But it's all about competitive advantage. So Telstra, let's start with, I've got three selected stories here. Let's start with the Apple Music story. So Telstra is giving customers a year worth of free access to Apple Music. So here we go. Telstra has announced that it will offer customers with eligible iPhone plans, of course, free 12-month subscription to Apple Music. Telstra's offer is available to Telstra postpaid customers with an iPhone with a 12 or 25 Go mobile plan the company announced today. Okay, first of all, of course, it's not available to prepaid customers. Second of all, that's not surprising. At the end of the 12-month membership, customers will need to pay the monthly membership fee of $11.99, which will be, of course, billed to their Telstra account. Joe Pollard, Australia's General Manager of Media and Marketing, said that Telstra's offer reflected its commitment to give its customers, quote-unquote, world-class entertainment experiences. You know, I try my best to give people world-class entertainment experiences, but, you know, it doesn't always work out the way. And also, that's now a show title. World-class entertainment experiences. I clicked on the wrong thing. Quote, our customers are telling us they want superior content, and they will be delighted with the, they said the taboo words that I cannot say out loud, but they'll be delighted to offer Australians to a 12-month membership of Apple Music, she said. Oh, this is, wait, hang on. What? Okay, it's strange. This Joe is a woman, apparently. Yeah, there you go. When you combine Apple Music with the Australia's best, they also said, again, taboo words that I cannot say. When you combine Apple Music with Telstra, you get a brilliant music experience that we know customers will like. I can't say that word. This is an incredibly exciting time for music lovers in Australia. All right, so those two quotes have taboo words in them that I cannot say out loud. So have fun with that. Rival telco Vodafone, though, has a similar deal with, you know, either Spotify, 12 months free access to Spotify or Stan, the Australian-owned video streaming service. So, you know, there's that. Sydney Morning, which is owned by all the Sydney Morning Herald, a newspaper, which is owned by Fairfax Media, which, you know, is owned by Liberal governments anyway. Oh, why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep doing political talk on the first half of the show? That shouldn't be happening. It just leaks out sometimes. Like a bad disease. It just leaks out. My world-class entertainment experience is hanging out. I should put that away. There's some good show titles in here already. Next up, we are heading way too quickly to the next break. Also, good news, sort of, if you are a video streaming addict. First of all, go see counselling. Second of all, Telstra has increased data allowances for existing ADSL 2 Plus NBN and cable customers to meet an increase in demand. How much will extra data customers be getting? Well, it depends on your plan. Some lucky customers will be getting an extra 500 gigabytes per month. So here we go. The amount of data you'll receive comes down to which Telstra plan you signed for. Oh, God, of course. The deal is being offered to all existing plans launched prior to June 30th, 2015. In other words, practically everyone should be getting an increase. So look at the new data to below. Old cap is 100 gig, new cap is 200 gig. Old cap, 200 gig, now 500 gigabytes. Old data cap, 500 gigabytes, now 1 terabyte. I think you will agree that it's not too shabby at all. If you are on Telstra plans that qualify, your data cap should automatically be adjusted in your next billing cycle. Because cycle is a fun word to say. And also Telstra, and this is the biggest of the news. Actually, that's pretty big too. And I want to say one thing before I get to the big Roku box that Telstra is launching. I want to get to the fact that A, that is good. So basically, people are getting double and more in some cases. I mean, the 200 gigabytes is now getting 500 gigabytes. Oh boy. But, you know, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, so I think, and if And if memory serves me correctly, and I'll let you guys know, I should be getting 200 gigabytes. For the amount I pay. I mean, yeah. That's pretty good for one person. Hey, send your hate mail to thechefwonder@gmail.com. You know, okay. A little side topic. I know this, I don't know if this person listens, but I got an email about another show in which I do. But I got an email that says, I shouldn't be living on my own in a two-bedroom apartment, essentially, when there are people who live on the street. And to that person, I say, nay, because I work hard for a living, and that person lives off the street. Anyway, Telstra wants you to have a Roku box. Roku! With the Telstra TV launch. So, what this is Telstra streaming video fans often wonder if the popular US set-top box Roku will arrive in this country. Well, now the wait is over, and Telstra is bringing it to you because, again, Telstra wants to have ties with everyone because of world-class, what was it? World-class entertainment experiences, because that's fun. So let's see. The set-top box offerings under the Telstra TV label, announcing in September for a September launch, Telstra flagged Presto, a Foxtel-owned service, Stan, a Channel 9 and Fairfax co-owned service, Netflix, as well as key streaming services, as well as, quote, a selection of TV catch-up services and the latest released movies from Big Pond Movies. The streaming video market has exploded in Australia since Netflix and the launch of Stan and Presto. But, you know, the fight is over for the incumbent Foxtel, which has dropped the ball. Essentially, Telstra is launching a Roku box. Telstra, told Fairfax that pricing will be involved. Won't be released until the actual release of the set-top box itself, which is sneaky, very sneaky. That's super sneaky. September 10th is when we can expect a Roku 2 device to come out. So don't get me wrong. Okay, so this is a Roku 2 device. They're up to, like, Roku 3, aren't they? And Roku Stick, I don't know. And Dropbox is now available on Roku, by the way. But Roku, they're up to Roku 3, I think, aren't they? What type of Rokus do they have? I don't know. Yeah, they have Roku 3. Yeah, they're only up to Roku 3. Roku 3, Roku Stick. Yeah, there you go. They have a Roku Stick, which came out right around the same time as the Roku as the Roku 3. But Telstra TV, and I'm going to hazard a guess that they're going to phase out their T-Box service, well, most of their T-Box service, and have that as a set-top box by September. I think that's what Telstra's plans are. I can't tell you that exactly, and I can't tell you pricing or anything, because Telstra's keeping that under wraps, of course. Oh, my. But, you know, I just... And 30 more seconds here. Well, 30, almost 30 more seconds here. But I just... I find... I don't know. Something about Telstra and the fact that they're tying this so many deals and so many, you know, in the pockets of so many people. It is very, very, what's next for Telstra? Is Telstra gonna become one of these, is it gonna neglect its phone, actual, its core business, and is it gonna go out and become this entertainment service rather than this thing that, you know, kind of its core focus should be improving phone services, not kind of entertainment services. It's kind of a bizarre direction for Telstra to take this online experience. It's, remember, it's all about gold class world extravaganza, world class entertainment experiences, because that's what the media wants you to believe. Anyway, as we continue here on GLS, it's GLS, remember, it's a double show, it's an hour show, which I like these longer form shows. As we continue, we are going to be getting political, let's get political. Anyway, as we continue, it's 10:31.
CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
Hey you! Yes you, fine listener of this program. You can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support, so we could do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it, where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geekio, or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
VPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly cable six strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
I got bad news for you. Your t-shirt sucks. You should take it off and buy a new one. And the best place to buy a new t-shirt is www.geek-io.net/tfury. Because I can have a t-shirt, you can have a t-shirt, but you better not get it from anywhere else but T-Fury. I am JD, and I approve this message.
Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell.
Yes!
Space, you were too nervous to make cooking love on pizza, and I hate ice cream. But I'm so glad you became my queen.
And welcome back to the Generic Live Show. This is GLS. I'm Dale Campbell. I haven't changed my name since I was born, in fact, that's that. It is still the 5th of August 2015. It's still episode number 24, and I fail to mention that up top. I don't know why. I don't know, but don't like to keep track. Anyway, so that was a fun little bumper track. I mean, unfortunately, it was all talk. It was all talk, and I had to dip it down to play the bumpers. But it's a nice song. It's Mr. and Mrs. Smith. With old fashioned, I'm sure people out there have vivid memories of when they were younger and what they used to do when they were younger. I mean, it's a walk down memory lane here. I remember walking to school every day and the tales that walking to school every day would bring. I remember those days, and I remember the big water tower that was right by the school. We used to climb up there when we were younger. So yeah, there's that. Hey, this is not Walk Down Memory Lane with Dale Campbell, and I forgot to turn my camera back on. So hello, YouTube. it's now time for it's time for conspiracy theories with Dale Campbell, and it goes something like this. Where is it? Conspiracy theories with Dale Campbell.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
That's right. I wouldn't make it a habit of calling me that, son. Well, in a world where Dick Smith. Multi-millionaire Mongol of electronics fame. If he came up against Tony Abbott in an election. Oh, my audio is going down a little bit. Oh, come on. Really? At this point in time, you want to do this? All right. So as that comes back up, I'm sure it will. All right. If Dick Smith comes up against Tony Abbott, so here you go. So he's a former chairman, of course. He's multi-millionaire and he's a pilot too. So he wants to rebuild aviation safety and protect our borders. So, two buzzwords that people want to hear. Former chairman of Civil Aviation and Safety Authority, because I just want to explain something before we actually do jump into conspiracy theories with Dale Campbell. I wanna jump into the way that everyone's focused on the U.S. election and everything going over on in the U.S. and what's going on over there, but no one's focusing in on what's happening at home, particularly us Australians. So I'm going to shine a light on you. I'm going to do my best to help deliver a world-class entertainment experience for you and kind of joke about the fact that an electronic retailer, former pilot and maker of strawberry jam, fail jokes. Yay. But that's the way I launched my career. You think I'm joking. But the maker of various food products is running in the same seat in the same election that Tony Abbott is. And if Dick Smith hopes he doesn't win, by the way, he hopes he doesn't win. And if he does win, that'll be A, awkward for everyone, and B, we don't really want that. We don't want that at all. We don't want Dick Smith in running the country. I mean, think about this. And I've mentioned this joke before off the air in a conversation. I mean, I've mentioned this before. So I said, hey, well, Dick Smith promises to give charities from his products, profits from all of his products to charity. Will he give all the profits from Australia to charity as well? Yeah, probably. Well, that would imply that we actually make a surplus. But anyway, if we ever make it to surplus. But anyway, apart from that, if Dick Smith, right? If Dick Smith made it to the Parliament House. As I said, the White House. If he made it to Parliament House, right? If he makes it to Australia, if he ever makes it to the political. If he ever made it to the top, basically, is what I'm trying to say. If he ever made it to the top, right, here's what we'll have. He wants to lean one way. He has to lean, as an independent in this country, he has to lean one way or the other. He has to either, for the two-party preferred basis system that this country is run off, he has to run left or has to run right. And he's not running left. Because the reason why he's not running liberal is the fact that he's out to deliberately do this to Tony Abbott. He's running to the middle, but in a two-party preferred environment, he would go for Labour, he'd go to the right-wing party. But it's still a very close race, of course, as you would expect in a race that's, several months away. So, of course. But opinion polls say that there's some hope. I mean, just out to yesterday, it had... I'm gonna pull up the poll real quick. Here we go. So on a 2-week average, by the way, so this is what it has. The question is, if the federal election was held today, to which party would you probably hold your first preference vote to? If not sure, which party are you currently leaning towards? If don't know, well, which party are you currently leaning to? Oh, okay. That was a follow-up question. So the first preference leaning towards, according to Essential Report, right? So According to the Essential Report, Essential Research, by the way, that's the name I wanted to do. People who took the poll, the 1,866 respondents, right, who took this poll, right, say that they are leaning, it's a close race. They have 39 to the Liberal National, 38 to Labour, 12 to the Greens, 1 to Palmer, 9 to other real or independent. That's the political makeup of the country. At the election, 2013, it was 45 Liberal, 33 Labour, 9 Greens, 5 Palmer, 7 independent. Rounding, by the way. So that's that. On a two-party preferred basis, this poll has it at 47 Liberal National, 53 Labour, of course. Liberal won 54-47, so... There's that. So it had it very, very interesting. So it's interesting. The National Party still held 3% of the vote, but of course the Liberals and the Nationals are pretty much, they're an amalgamated party these days. So, and their votes are going down. I mean, they're consistently they've fallen from 45% to 39%. Labour's gained 5 to go up to 38. I mean, it's redonkulous. Another poll has it. Where is it? Another poll taken by Realtek this last week had the Liberals at 40.6 and the AMP at Liberal Nationals at 41 and had ALP at 38, Greens at 12, others at 8.6. The Reach Tell poll, the Morgan poll though, the Morgan poll is very, very interesting. And these are the three polls that are pretty much dominating at the moment. News poll does some occasionally, pretty much every month they do polls, so, and the polls are very, very scattered in schedule, of course, because, it's very still up in the air, but as of 30th of July, which is also this last week, it had LNP at 41, ALP at 38, two-party preferred basis is still 47-53, so to the Labour Party, so Labour, it looks like they're going to get an essential, but in other political matters, and I love this political talk. I love the fact that I'm holding this ransom. And by the way, I am. So there's that. If the federal election were held today, who would hold your first preference vote? Labour at 38, Liberal at 37, Nationals at 3.6, so that bumps it up to 39? No, 40.6. They have Liberal National at 40.6, Labour at 38, Greens at 13, Palmer at 1, other at 7. The two-party preferred basis is the same as the 2013 election. 47 to Liberal National, 53 to Labour. Who do you think would make a better Prime Minister? This is interesting. 44% say Tony Abbott, 55% say 45-55 to Bill Shorten and to Tony Abbott. The net satisfaction of 53% is poor to very poor. And opposition leaders' satisfaction rates aren't that better. Poor to very poor is 45.9%. 34.6 is satisfactory. 19.6 is very good to very good. But here's another thing too. So Bronwyn Bishop stood down, by the way, as Speaker of the House. 58.3% said yes, she did the right thing by standing down as Speaker of the House because of some unclaimed expenses that she had. So she's done a good job. But this one's a good one. Would you support a new federal anti-corruption commission to oversee political donations, allowances, and entitlements? By the way, that's currently not happening. You know, we saw this in the last election, how what's his name? Rupert Murdoch gave exponential amount of money to the Palmer Party and to make him win his election. By the way, that's ridiculous. The Palmer Empire actually has a seat in the... Anyway, that makes me mad. In a seat called Fairfax, funnily enough. But anyway, and put money in the pockets of Tony Abbott without anyone knowing. So this question is interesting. Would you... 73.4% of people say yes, they would support it. So, yeah. And the Greens won out as well. 15% are undecided, which is strange. 10.8 oppose it outright. Interesting enough, people in the older, 51 to 65, have the strongest feeling about it. So, and it's all demographics. You can demographic this to the whole, to the hills and back as well. But, and at the end of the day, if both your leaders, by the way, are at negative satisfactory, you know, you got something wrong. And if Dick Smith, all Dick Smith has to do to get out there, and all Dick Smith has to do is get out there and drum up business. That's all he has to do. And he doesn't have to accept donations from... And we're seeing this with Donald Trump in the US election, right? Dick Smith is not much different to Donald Trump, except Dick Smith doesn't kind of go out there and say ridiculous thing, even though we've got this story and we do have to wrap up soon. But, you know, Dick Smith is not going out there saying outlandish things yet. I mean, he has in the past said some outlandish things, but, you know, we're not ruling that out. I have a story here which was very, very interesting. So Dick Smith is now going after Tony Abbott's left-hand man. That's fun. He's urging Truss, Warren Truss, the deputy leader, to hold off on OneSky. Aviation Identity, Dick Smith has written to the Minister of Infrastructure and Regional Services, Warren Truss, also the Deputy Prime Minister and person who sits in for, you know, Tony when he's out. In a letter sent to Truss dated 14th of July, Smith said a new civil military airspace management system should be delayed in the airspace until Australia is reformed. Quote, I believe it is an absolute imperative that the OneSky project be put on hold until the airspace is actually upgraded in a way that OneSky system could be used effectively, Smith told him in the lab. For example, at the moment, at present, our non-tower instrument approaches in non-controlled airspace. This means that even an aircraft with all equipment and the OneSky receivers ADS-B. This is very in depth. We're digging into this way too much. And the OneSky pilots will still have to use the 1930s calling in the blind systems to remain separated when in IMC. This is utterly ridiculous. Smith reinforced his position today, saying that the government should adopt the 2007 policies previous Minister Mark Vaile. This OneSky project should be put on hold till airspace policy moves ahead as per plans, approved by Minister Vail, he said. For example, there are no new plans to increase the amount of controlled airspace at airports such as Ballina and Gladstone, and it's very likely at the low-level approach at airspace for Launceston and Hobart airports. Well, they have two heads down there, so yeah, they're fine. Surely this airspace changes could see the place of the One Sky system is designed to work to improved airspace. I mean, Dick Smith has come out and said that, you know, I want to make the space around Australia safer. That's his goal. His goal is to make the space around Australia safe. But he says he's a person, he's a human rights advocate as well as a maker of tomato sauce. I work in a supermarket. I mean, I can't help myself but to bring up these things that Dick Smith makes. What are the most bizarre thing? Okay, in a world, by the way, this is Daryl Conspiracy Politics Talk. In a world that Dick Smith actually wins the seat marginally, he won't win it safely. I don't think Dick Smith would earn more than 60% of the vote somehow in a mostly in a swing seat per se. I don't think he'll win it safely. He'll win it marginally. I think he'll win it by a swing of about, he'll have a swing of about 50, but he would win it 50.6, I think. He'll win it marginally, and if he wins it marginally, I mean, it's tough to say, because if he gets in, he's going to have to deal with the immigration stuff that is still at the forefront. By the way, I looked at an article. It might not have been for this show because we don't do a lot of political talk on this show. But I looked at an article that says the three most important issues on Australia's minds at the moment are climate change, immigration, and there's another one. Climate change, immigration, and the economy. And that was another thing as well, the economy. I do have to wrap up, so. The economy, though, but another minute on this. If Dick Smith gets in, yes, he will make airspaces good again, but what is he going to do for, you know, immigration? He's got plans for, apparently. He's not revealing them, but he's still saying he's still saying he's got them. Immigration, climate change, well, he wants to put a whole lot more planes in the sky, so I'll leave that up to you. And the economy, well, he makes strawberry jam. Actually, I've used strawberry jam. I've used breakfast cereal, I've used tomato sauce. What else does Dick Smith make? I think that's it. He makes salad dressing. At least he used to. Yeah, salad dressing, that's a new one, there you go. But if he can make multi-billion dollars and make huge donations to charity, I'm pretty sure he can do a lot for this country, but how he's going to manage budgets and do all that sort of thing, well, I'm not too sure yet, but I want a world where, you know, someone actually gives the Prime Minister a run for their money, so I want that to be the case. And I mean, I won't do political stories on this show often enough because it's kind of bridging the gap between things. But let me know if you want political talk. I mean, there's no avoiding it. I mean, it's a generic live show. I mean, it is off the beaten path, and I gave you plenty of warning that it's off the beaten path. But the point is, I will be covering the election when it comes close. I mean, it's right in my backyard, so, you know. What are you going to do? Not a lot. Oh, the debates, dude. I want Dick Smith up on that stage as the third party. He would be fun. Alrighty, that's going to do it for this show. It's 11 o'clock. Therefore, let's get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. chefwondermedia.net/gls/geek-io.net/gls, gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and support our Patreon, patreon.com/geek-io. I've only got 30 seconds left. I'm forgetting something. We're now on iTunes. Just search GLS and find us over there on the iTunes. What else? We're not on the TuneIn. We're not on anything else. We're not on terrestrial radio, so there's that. And that's going to do it for us. Until next week, bye for now.
You're listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
This has been a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io.
Geek.
Geek and Geek.